So, I got to find someone to pick on today. Could someone open us in prayer again today?
No.
Sure, I will. Oh, anybody. Okay, thank you, guys.
Did you ask somebody? I didn't hear.
Well, this is fine. Whoever volunteers. Everyone else kind of looks down. It's okay. Been there, done that. Please.
Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for all that you have in store for us. Thank you, Father, for all the days has got inside of her, the word that she has to share with us this morning. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and give her the tongue that speaks what's on your heart. We just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name.
Okay, thank you. So last week, guys, we said that discipleship is the pattern that God has ordained. And it's a pattern that he has ordained as the means to Christ-likeness and spiritual growth. We said that the pattern of discipleship is the means that he uses to advance his kingdom. So this is his choosing. That's the pattern that he's put in place. So let's pick up our story again at Matthew 28, verse 16. And would anybody mind reading? You could just read off the sheet here. Would anybody mind helping me mind reading some of these scriptures?
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
Mm-hmm. So I asked here, who is Jesus speaking to in this verse?
His
disciples, right. It's important to make a note of that. And then it goes on to say, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So remember, last time we said when Jesus is speaking these words to his disciples, that he had already died, paid the complete price for all of mankind's sin, been resurrected, and he was now on his way back into heaven. In fact, he was on his way home to go sit down, is what he was, to sit down at the right hand of the Father, which, another teaching, but that's a position of absolute authority, to sit at the right hand of the King. So he had accomplished his task. We said Jesus was explaining to his disciples that he had accomplished his mission, and now this is the mission, or this is what he was needing them to do. I said Jesus broke Satan's power over all of mankind. If we look in 1 John 3:8, we see that it says that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I made a notation there that this scripture is singular. It doesn't say that Jesus came for many reasons. It said this is the reason that he came. So when we go back to the scripture and see Jesus saying all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, we know that he accomplished his task. He accomplished his mission. So he's telling his disciples that, I accomplished my mission and now I'm going back to heaven and this is what I need you to do. This is your mission. And he commissioned them in verse 19. He said, you go now and make disciples. So this is our mission. This is the mission of the church and this is our responsibility. So if being and making disciples is to be the end product of our church activities, it is vitally important that we clearly understand what a disciple is. Okay, and I use an example there. If someone says to you, go out today in the yard and make a deck in the back of your house, well, if I don't know what a deck is, I'd have very little success. I'm not going to succeed at that if I don't even know what that means. So we're going to take some time today, and we're going to clearly get a clearer picture of what a disciple is. And I think there's six essential things that are a part of being a disciple. The first is a disciple who is one who has answered Christ's call. And if someone would mind reading the scripture here, it's Matthew 11, 28 through 29.
Just come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
So what we see here is this is the call of salvation. This is Jesus calling to the whole world, right? So a disciple is someone who has answered that call, and they've accepted Jesus as Savior. They said, yep, I need that. I want forgiveness of my sins. So the discipleship has accepted Jesus as Savior. I just threw a little comment in here. I said, much of the mainstream church today never gets a person past this first step. And think about this. Think about all your experiences. We tend to present Jesus only as Savior, and we don't try to get people past that point. I said there's some things that a new believer needs to know, and it's our job as more mature disciples or believers to help them. A new believer knows that they are forgiven of all sin, past, present, and future. They need to know that they have a new spiritual life. They are spirit, they have a soul, and live in a physical body. Their spirit man has been totally recreated. It's perfect. So most of us in this room know that I'm talking about man being a three-part being. That basic teaching is so essential to being successful in your walk with the Lord. But many new believers are never even they never explain that. Nobody ever explains that to them. New believers need to know that Jesus lives inside of them, that he's actually in them now, indwelling, one with their spirit. They need to know that God is now their Father. They need to know that they are part of a new family, that they are a member in the body of Christ. They have a place. Satan no longer has any power over them. I like that one. Satan has no... And the new believer needs to know this. And you'd be surprised how many people have been walking with the Lord for years and don't really know these basic things right here. So this is one of the marks of the disciple. A second one is a disciple is one that surrenders. Okay, so this is a little deeper now. So if we could look at Luke 14:33, if someone would mind reading that out loud.
If you do not detach yourself from all that belongs to you, you can't be a disciple of mine.
Wow, Jesus said you can't be a disciple of mine. So you might be a convert, you might be a believer, but you're not a disciple until all these parts are in place. So this step, if you will, involves surrendering to Jesus as Lord. Okay, it's not just accepting his Savior. Now we're surrendering to him as Lord over our lives. Christ comes first over my relationships, my rights, and my resources. And when I read that, I thought, wow, how un-American, right? We're very, very independent. We're very fierce about that, about our stuff. But lordship, surrendering, it means we're giving all that over. This surrender is necessary to experience God's highest and best purpose in my life. This surrender enables my life to be used to advance God's kingdom. Okay, so these steps are vitally important. This step involves a commitment. And you're going to see me start saying here, this takes a deeper level of maturity, see? We talked last time that discipleship really is bringing a person along that process, maturing them. So we're going to see this now. These commitments are going to get deeper and deeper every step that we're talking about. I said if we are not moving a person from one level of maturity to another, we're not making disciples. Again, we might have made a convert, we might have helped make a believer, but we're not making disciples. And that's what Jesus has told us we're supposed to be doing. That's the product we're supposed to be making. A disciple is teachable and willing to learn. Again, scripture here, if somebody please, Matthew 11:29.
Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Mm-hmm. So the disciple is eager to learn from the lives of others. They're eager to learn from the Word of God. They're becoming sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And this is a very important point here. They're becoming self-feeding, what we call self-feeding. Okay, what does that mean? That means that I'm not just going to go sit in a service anymore and pastor who's doing a wonderful job, and most of them are, and just sit and listen and then go home and not do anything. This means that me, I'm the disciple, I'm beginning to learn how to go home and open my Bible. And I'm beginning to, I got to find this out for myself. So when we're in the process of making this product, if you will, disciple, it's our job to help that person understand. This is what needs to be happening. We need to enable that. We need to mentor them. We need to start seeing that in that person. If we're not starting to see that, again, we're not making that disciple. We're maintaining someone's acceptance of the Lord, but we're not bringing them along that process. So they need to become self-feeding. They need to start taking responsibility for their own walk with God. Acts 17:11, it says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message, again, accept self, with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day. That's what we want to see, to see if what Paul said was true. So I said, this is a deeper level of maturity. We're bringing this person along this path again. And we ourselves have to first be on this path. So this is not just a hearer, but this is someone that's beginning to be a doer of the word. They're learning to start applying, wait, I see this here, how do I apply that to my life? I don't feel good in my body. I see healing here. How do I get that to manifest in my life? I'm having financial problems. I see here that I'm blessed. How do I get that to... Yeah. See what I'm saying? It's not a matter of head knowledge, but we're helping them, and we ourselves are... We're getting that manifestation. This is... We have to be seeing this, otherwise we're not in that process of making a disciple. Not just a hearer, but a doer. Knows how to pray, okay? And you're going to see a prayer moving from, think of a child, I want, give me, give me, give me, which is normal. That's immaturity. But these prayers should be moving now more to, Father, what do you want? You know what I'm saying? It's more about, it's not just the taking. Again, this is that process of maturity. We're starting to think of others. Lord, how can I pray for that person over there? I see this problem. they know how to read their own Bible. Remember, we gave those statistics last time that like, I think one in five people or something don't even bother to read the Bible. A lot of people say to Christians, again, don't even read the Bible. So we need to help them. We need to help each other. And again, we're saying they need to apply the word to real life situations. What good is it? I always deal with this frustration in my life. What good is it if it says it in here, but I can't get what I need when I'm in trouble? What good is it really, guys? We're not any different than the world then, right? If we can't get this from here, from our inner man to the outer life experience, what are we doing? I mean, really, what are we doing? And I feel that frustration in my own life. I want the manifestation. I know we all do. We want to get it for ourselves, and then we want to be able to give it to the next guy. This is how you get this from the Lord. You know, there's no shortages there. We got this. We just got to figure out how to get it from here to there. A disciple is becoming like his master. Again, let's read 2 Corinthians 3:18.
And we who were with a veiled face with all reflect the glory of the Lord are being transformed into his image with intensifying glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit.
Right. So the disciple, I'm going to reference you Romans 12:1-2, we know this is an ongoing transformation. What does that mean? Again, that means the truth of the inner man, the spirit man that is perfected, is beginning to manifest on the outside. Okay, so it's an ongoing transformation. Change at this point in this disciple that we're making should start becoming apparent. You should start seeing behaviors changes, attitude changes, actions are changing. Maybe I don't do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. We need to start seeing that in that person, okay? Developing Christ-like attitudes and behaviors. The spirit man is beginning to, again, to manifest to the outside. We understand what we mean by that. The whole kingdom of God is inside the believer, right? But now we're teaching them and we're learning how to get that from the inside to the out. This person looks, acts more like Jesus. And they know how, this is what I like. They know how to resist the devil and win. And win. Have you guys experienced when you have that victory and over something? Wow, right? Wow. And again, a vital important point here is they're beginning to understand their identity in Christ. We know who we are, guys. We know who we are. We should know who we are. When we walk in any room, we shouldn't be intimidated by anything in there because we should know we're carrying that kingdom. And that's not an arrogance. We need to know that. We need to know that when we're walking in this situation. Walking into a hospital room, somebody you love's on life support, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Going to walk in there and get overwhelmed? No, we need to know who we are. We need to know that we have inside what that person needs to save that life. You know what I mean? This is what we should be doing as disciples. A disciple loves God's family. John 13:34-35. I'm still picking on anybody out there.
The new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Mm-hmm. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples.
Right.
Love one another.
I'm sorry. So this or that, you'll know that, again, you're my disciples. We must always be motivated by love. Always. Our love for God first, love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and then love for it has to always be our motive, guys. I have a dear friend, you don't know who I'm talking about, who can quote the truth a lot. She can preach the truth a lot to people, but I always tell her, gotta be in love. You can't just take the truth of God's word and beat people down with it. Our motive has always gotta be to love, to build up, to mentor, disciple, to bring along that path, right? And that this disciple understands that they're a member of one body. That's why we sit in this position like this. Every person here is vital. Every person carries a piece of this puzzle. It's like our physical body. You know, the heart can't say, hey, liver, I don't need you today. Even our little toes on our feet, we can't say, I don't need you, because we'll fall over on our face. The disciple understands this. I'm part of this body. I'm part of this team. We're all carrying something. There's no one's better, no one's worse. We have to have a respect for each other. This person does not neglect the assembling together of other disciples. Important, we build each other up. The disciple exhibits and protects unity within the body. Okay, again, we're talking about this level of maturity. We all get offended. We all do things we wish we didn't do. We all have things done to us we wish weren't done. But the disciple is maturing now. He's not going to take that offense because he knows that's going to open the door to the devil to bring division, and that's what he wants. Because when we're not together, we're not working together, we're losing effectiveness. So the maturing disciple, they're maturing, they understand this, okay? I'm not going to take offense by that. I'm going to understand that's something the devil, and I'm going to love you anyway, and let's move on, right? This is what the things we have to see in this disciple. A disciple who is one, and I love this, is committed to Christ's mission in the world, okay? Matthew 28, 19, 20, I won't read it for time, but we're back to our original scripture. Therefore, you go and make disciples. I said this is the highest level of maturity, and the perfect example of this is Jesus Christ, okay? This is when all our needs are met, we're secure, we know who we are, we're functioning in the body, and now we're interested in the Father's business, right? Father, how can my life be used? How can I be used to advance your purpose, your mission? That's when we're in that perfect place of maturity. We've taken responsibility for our own spiritual life, right? We thank God for the pastor. We always need the pastor. We always need the teacher. But when we're in the middle of somewhere and we have distress, maybe in the little middle of Alaska, I'm seeing you, I don't know, there's no one there to help you, what are you going to do, right? We know how to take responsibility for our own spiritual lives. We know how to share our faith. In all the years I've walked with the Lord, you'd be shocked at the amount of Christians who walk 20, 30 years with and cannot articulate their faith to another person. They can't really articulate. They can't even articulate their faith, guys. This is a no-no. This is a no-no. And then this person is involved in nurturing, discipling, and mentoring others. They have found and are fulfilling their part in the discipleship-making process. Okay? So this, in summary, this is what a disciple is. When we're going to build this disciple, we have to understand what does it look like. This is someone who has answered Jesus' call to salvation and has accepted him as Savior. Basic. We pretty much all understand that. This is someone who surrenders all to the Lordship of Christ. Ouch, right? That's a little harder. Someone who is teachable, eager, and willing to learn, and is maturing, not just gaining head knowledge, but maturity. Someone who is consistently becoming more like Jesus in thought, word, and actions. Someone that understands and is functioning in the rightful place in the body of Christ. Someone that is fully committed to Christ, and I underline, mission in the world, not their own, to Christ, you know, and is functioning in that. I said, so the making of a disciple is not magical. It doesn't just happen automatically. Even if a person is attending church service regularly, Bible studies, it doesn't ensure that they're maturing or growing. They could just be sitting, listening, and leaving and going. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean they're maturing. We're going to see next time we get together in the process of building or making a disciple, that discipleship is very intentional. It's intentional. It doesn't happen by, and it's very systematic, line upon line, precept upon precept. First, we build the foundation. Someone was just referring to Andrew Womack's series. First level, you build the foundation. Second level, you're teaching that person how to walk that out in their life. Third level, you're helping them to help another person. See? It's very systematic. Think of a little kid in school. Like I said, you don't send them to kindergarten one day, eighth grade the next day, you know, college the next day. No, you're taking them along a very intentional path, because what is your goal? To mature them. Mature them so that they can function on their own. That's what you're after. Much of the activity taking place in the church today is not discipleship. Discipleship is very specific and requires mentoring. It's hard work. It takes an extended period of time to cover the topics necessary for a believer to grow into Christ-likeness. It's far more than just doing life together. And I'm not picking on anyone, but that's a very seeker-friendly term we hear now. We're going to do life together. You know, doing life together is important because that involves fellowship and we need each other. But it's not discipleship. That's not discipleship. So we're going to talk about that. Now that we have a clear understanding of exactly what a disciple is, next time we will begin to look at the process involved in making one, okay? And on the bottom here, I'm just giving you the four lessons that we're doing. Last time we did the pattern, that this is God's pattern, ordained by him, commanded by him. Today we're talking about the product. We're getting an understanding of, I'm building this product. We're all as a team building this product. Well, what is it? We're getting a clear understanding of that. How do we... And the next time we're going to do the process, how do we make one? Okay? So now I have the deck. I see. I understand. So help me now know how do I build that? How do I make that? How do we all work together on that? And then the last lesson we're going to do is of the tools. God has given us everything we need to do this. He's already made all of this available. Spiritually and in the practical realm, we have everything that we need. And again, guys, this is like the most exciting journey there is. I mean, it just is. When we're finding and fulfilling what God has for us, individually and corporately, it's just all there is. I mean, it's just the most happiest, fulfilled life. Souls are being saved. God's kingdom's advanced. Our purpose in our life is being fulfilled. So it's win-win, win-win, win-win. Thank you, Jesus. So that's it. Okay.